Yeah, you need an initial hole. I don't care if my pants get wet. Where's the lid?
Welcome into Keep It About Ball, bitch.
Just a splash.
Shitbag lizard people.
Bro, QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, yeah, when you crunch numbers, who the fuck's Jennifer?
And welcome into ZBR Sports, a podcast by Zach Brady and Reed. We talk KC Royals, NBA, the NFL, and fantasy football, mostly in reference to our Dynasty League, Hillary Duff's Prime, but also our Scott Fishbowl team. I'm Zach, the Z and the Zebra, joined, of course, by my pals and partners, Brady, the B of our initials, and the soft R, our guy, Reed. Fellas, how did last week treat you?
Oh, man, good to be here. Ready to talk some sports, especially this list.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, ready to jump into it.
Yes, sir. So let's go ahead and do that. We got a full show for you guys tonight. First, we're going to catch up with the Royals real quick. Then we're going to play a few rounds of start, bench, trade, cut. Then we're going to rank the top 10 current receivers. And we'll finish up with our top 8 franchises of all time. Finish up that countdown there. We'll make sure Reed gets his 24 through 17 off, since I can't edit a podcast for shit if you listened to that last time. But before we get into all of that stuff, please make sure you hit like and subscribe wherever you're listening from. If you're on Apple Podcasts, drop that 5-star review. It really helps us grow. So we'll start with the Royals here. The last time we caught up with them, they were kind of in the midst of a cold streak, sort of limping in their way into the All-Star break there. What's that, Brady?
Oh, yeah, just acknowledging that they have been in a cold streak and they are not to...
Yeah.
It's by on the 7th and they're getting their ass kicked right now by the White Sox, which you don't...
Are they? Like I was going to check in with that, yeah. During the All-Star break, Bobby put on a show with Teoscar Hernandez in the Home Run Derby, and the Royals had 4 players named, which is the most since 2015 when Wade Davis, Alcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, and Salvi were all named. And then this year, the current Royals that made it were Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Salvi, and of course, Bobby Witt Jr. And then to start this second half of the season, they swept the White Sox the first series, and followed that up with losing back-to-back series to the Diamondbacks and Cubs, both 1-2. Like I said, they just started that series with the White Sox over an hour ago. What did you say the score was?
It's 5-2 right now in the bottom of the 7th. And the White Sox are currently on a 14-game losing streak. So.
Yeah, the White Sox suck ass.
They're one of the worst teams in baseball. That's
they
a team
are.
You should be collecting.
They're one of the worst all time. From what I hear, they're one of the worst of all time, this team. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
they got a tainted franchise. I think some bullshit about they threw like away some World Series in the 20s because of mafia ties or something. I don't know. I've heard that story. But yeah, they're just a shitty franchise, so I think they've only won one that I can even think of. World Series.
Yeah.
Maybe they won some back in the day, but they're probably up there.
I feel like they won a World Series in 2005?
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 5. Right after Boston won theirs.
Magdo Ordóñez. No, he played... I guess he played for them and Detroit. Okay, I don't know. But, I don't know. Yeah, but the rest of the season is not favorable for the Royals. I actually went through and looked at the schedule last night, and so they got 17 more series left on the year, right? 14 of those series are against teams with records that are currently within 5 games of the Royals or better than them. So, like, teams that are basically... No one's a playoff lock yet, but, like, the teams that are pretty much playoff locks. And then and then teams that are, like, obviously just, like, right on their heels fighting for the same playoff spot that the Royals are trying to get. The Angels, the Nationals, and the Reds are the only 3 teams that they'll face that aren't at least within 5 games of them. And 2 of those are on the road. So they did just trade for Michael Lorenzen today, who's a pretty good starter from Texas.
Yeah.
They got Hunter Harvey a couple weeks ago, so they're definitely all in. So hopefully the results reflect that in the end.
It's So I just had to look up this information, but they have three total in their history, 05, 1917, and 1906, so relatively dog shit.
Yeah, yeah, they were pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get some rounds of start, bench, trade, cut going here. We're going to go standard PPR, redraft league, very basic. Are you good over there, Reed?
Oh, yeah, sir, I'm here.
Something's, I don't know sure who it is. Someone's got a lot of something going on over there.
What?
Just getting a ton of sound going on over there. A lot of cutting in. I don't know. Anyways, start, bench, trade, cut. This first round, we're just going all standard PPR, like normal redraft stuff. This first wave is running backs who are currently starters but kind of have potential questions or concerns behind them. So, Reed, if I give you Joe Mixon, Zach Moss, Kenneth Walker, and James Conner, who are you starting, benching, cutting, trading, or starting, benching, trading, and cutting?
Who is that for again?
Joe Mixon, Zach Moss, Kenneth Walker, and James Conner.
So Mixon, Walker, Connor, Moss. I'm going to, let's see, who do they all play for? Texans.
Oh, man.
Fox, Arizona. Who does Moss play for now?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yeah.
It is Cincy. So, I would say, based off who I think starting in certain places and different things, I would say start Mixon. I would bench. Bench Walker.
Do you have any reason behind these? Talk us through it. Why are you putting these guys, like, why you're doing
this? Yes, sir. So, Mixon is likely starter for the Texans. I think he's going to get the biggest workload out of everybody from what I've been hearing out of camp. Calling him a workhorse, yada yada. Walker, always a solid fantasy choice, even though he's a little dinged up, is worrisome. But, I like his upside a little more than Connor's. Connor's was close. I would say trade Connor and just cut Moss, because I think his is more risk, because I feel like he's going to lose out the starting job to Chase Brown. We could still get a good amount of reps, but I would say probably cut Moss, trade Connor.
Okay. How about you, Brady?
So I probably start Joe Mixon. He's pretty consistent with the pass catching. He's going to get you some value. I'm going to bench James Conner. I don't trust Kenneth Walker's health and. Yeah, I just don't trust
him. You trust James Conner's health more than Kenneth Walker's?
Didn't Conner miss half the year last year?
Yeah, Conner's never played a full season, I don't think.
He was balling out the last five games, and I'm pretty confident. And we're just doing for now, yeah, I mean, like, Kenneth Walker's, just for a season, yeah, I'm gonna take James Conner over Kenneth Walker.
Well, I mean, I am too. But I was just saying per health. Are you trusting Connor's health over Kenneth Walker's health?
Yeah.
I was like that. That's what I thought you were saying. I was like, I don't know about that. That's kind of.
I mean, they're.
Connor's kind of the most notoriously injury-prone guy in the league.
But I think Connor has a more upside.
Agreed.
More ups. That's kind of where I'm getting at. Like, Walker is just meh and injury-prone. I'm not saying Connor's not, but why I'm benching Connor over Walker is just because he's better. I mean,
yeah.
flat out.
And he gets a better workload.
And then Zach Moss. And then Zach Moss I'm cutting. I think he's not going to be as productive this year. I don't know. I mean, it might be like a Tony Pollard kind of situation where you like think he's going to be pretty good and you're just like, eh, meh. You know,
yeah.
But we'll see.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah. So that's my reasoning for those four. But Joe Mixon for sure starts.
Okay.
He's about as consistent as a running back you can get. And yeah, Connor bench, trade Walker, and then cut Moss. So.
Okay. I'm also cutting Zach Moss. I'll start James Connor though. I'll trade Joe Mixon and bench Kenneth Walker.
Okay.
Yeah, I just feel like Mixon's probably going to get the most value on there.
That's fair. I don't hate that at all.
Do you know what James Connor and Kenneth Walker have in common? They both only have one 1,000-yard rushing year. Connor's
James
got five
Connor's
more
been in the league, I think, about three times longer than Kenneth Walker. At least twice as long.
Yeah.
Running backs just aren't what they were anymore either. I mean, I think we've had one 1,200-yard rusher last year, and then they went back to, like, 2003, and there was, like, 15. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they end, like, good running backs anymore. They're going to be, like, you know, rushing for nearly, like, 1,000 yards. Like, it's pretty hard to do anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to this next one. This is all young wide receiver twos on their team. So, Brady, what are you going to do with Jalen Waddle, Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, and Devontae Smith?
So, I'm going to start Jalen Waddle. That Miami Dolphins offense is explosive as it gets. And even though Tyreek Hill is in the offense, when they're both on, they're both going for 100-plus yards and multiple tutties. So I'm going to start Waddle. I'm going to bench Devontae Smith. I'm trading Jordan Addison's dumbass.
Saw that coming.
Tank Dell. Because I'm trying to get as much value out of Addison as I can before he gets another Dewey. So, yeah. And Tank Dell, yeah, he's a stud, but, God, you know, look the 2 years before, he had, like, 400 yards. Could be a one-year wonder for that guy. Is this the guy, right, or is that Nico Collins? Am I getting them mixed up? I might have got them mixed up.
What'd you say?
Was he the one? Is it Nico Collins that blew up after 2 years last year?
Or
was it Tank Dell? I get them mixed up.
Tank Dell was a rookie
either
last
way,
year, I believe.
Okay, so I'd cut Tank Dell. I keep Devontae Smith in the offense with Jalen Hurts. AJ Brown kind of seemed to go on a decline the second half of the year. I don't know, maybe means more snaps for, or not more snaps, more looks for Devontae. But yeah, trading Addison for sure though.
Reed?
Yeah, so I'm starting Addison. I'm going to start right there. I think he's about to take a step forward this year. That's fine. Okay. He's going to ball out when he gets back. I'm not worried about it. Bench Waddle, so I'll be fine when Addison misses those three games. And then I would trade Devontae Smith and cut Tank Dell. I don't know how much value there is out there for Tank Dell, being as small as he is and coming off of a broken leg. Don't know what you could get there, so cut him. What you got, Zach?
I'm starting Dell, trading Waddle, benching Smith, and cutting Addison.
You're big on Dell, huh?
Yeah, I think he's probably got the best situation, I think, for this year. At least best quarterback as of right now. And CJ Stroud likes him a lot. Yeah, that's true. I think he still gets a lot, though. At least more than the rest of these guys. And then I think I'd probably trade Waddle because he'd probably get the most value. He's got the biggest name. And then benching Smith because he'd be pretty good. And if, like, A.J. Brown or Dallas Goedert got hurt, he would be a really... He'd be a really nice option. And then Addison, I just feel like Justin Jefferson's there. Hawkinson will be back. They got Aaron Jones, who's a good pass-catching back. New quarterbacks, whether or not they're good or not, even if they are good, they're new. They might not have that connection with Addison. They might just feed everyone else. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing with them. And next up...
Well, actually, we're out of time.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and go with the next one. On quarterbacks, these are all like quarterback twos. So Reed, if I give you Brock Purdy, Justin Herbert, and your buddy Kirk Cousins and CJ Stroud, what are you doing with them?
Well, starters, this one easy to start enough. You know, I'm going to pick Stroud. CJ Stroud. QB one. A close second here, man. I would pick Herbert maybe going into next year when he's got some more weapons as my number two bench, but he's not there. So, Cousins in a nice little offense there, some players, but Purdy familiarity. All the weapons, I'm going Purdy to bench. And I'm going to trade, obviously, Herbert, because he's got the most trade value there. And cut Cousins.
Okay. Brady?
Sorry, I need to pull that back up. Okay, so the quarterbacks here. God. I'm probably... this one was the toughest one for me. I'm going to start CJ Stroud. I think he's going to... We got Stephon Diggs, more weapons. I think he's going to have another big year. I almost thought about putting Brock Purdy there, but I'm going to bench Brock Purdy. I'm going to trade Justin Herbert for his value because he doesn't have anyone to throw to. And I'm going to cut Kirk Cousins.
Who'd you say you were going to start?
CJ Stroud. I was going back and forth on him and Brock Purdy.
Yeah, no.
I
got CJ Stroud too, so that's all three of us. I think he's got the highest upside among all these guys.
Yeah.
And then Purdy's going to be real consistent. Yeah. Which that's all I want for my bye week guy. And then.
Right. So, yeah.
And then Kirk, I feel like you probably get more for him on the market than Justin Herbert, so I think that's probably why I would trade him. And then cut Herbert. But I don't know. You could kind of go either way with those last two. Whoever's going to get me more value is who I'll trade. And then let's go ahead and knock out these tight ends real quick. Brady, okay. If I give you Sam Laporta, Evan Ingram, Trey McBride, and David Njoku, what do you do with those guys?
Okay. Man, this is a tough one. I'm going to trade Laporta for his value. I don't think he's going to have as big of a year this year. I don't think that's going to be sustainable for him. I'm going to cut Njoku because I just don't think he's that good. He's okay. I'd probably start Ingram over McBride, so I think I'm going to start Ingram, bench McBride. It was tough, though.
Okay.
So starting Ingram, benching McBride, trading Laporta, and then cutting Njoku. All
right.
Okay. Well, I would say I would start Laporta. He's definitely that guy. Benching Evan Ingram. Probably almost anyone who's in Doug Peterson's offense, I'll put him on my bench. That's fine, tight end-wise. I'll do that. Not a problem. Gonna eat his targets. I would trade McBride and cut Njoku.
We're all cutting Njoku, I guess. I'm gonna keep Evan Ingram for his value, and then trade Laporta for a haul, and keep McBride on the bench as a backup. I think you get a nice load for a whoa pause for Laporta. Pause. Yeah. No homo.
Right, same page.
You get a good chunk of players for Laporta or something. I don't know. Wow. But yeah, and I think Evan Ingram's going to be a monster in Jacksonville this year, just a PPR monster, because I think they were the first or second most vacated targets them in Buffalo this year, and he already caught the ball a lot, and I think they're just going to lean on him a little bit more too. Plus, he'll probably get another touchdown or two. So, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into our first break, and then when we get back, we'll do our last start, bench, trade, cut, and then we'll get into our top 10 receivers. All right, so on this last one here, tried to make it a little difficult or at least a little interesting and did a player of each position. So Reed, with Trevor Lawrence, Devon Achane, A.J. Brown, and Pfizer Fuckboy, what are you doing with that group of guys?
Pfizer. Yeah. Kelsey.
Yeah.
All right. So, assuming this is fully healthy Achane, that's probably going to pop off at any moment. I am 100% starting him. Seeing what he can do. I like that. I like that gamble. I'll take it.
Okay.
Likely going to bench, man. AJ's good. And T-Law is not a 20-plus points per. So their points per games are probably pretty close. Points per game standard PPR between Law and Brown. Kelsey, I mean, his is up there, but he's getting who would have the most value here? This is tough. Achane to start felt pretty easy, but now, like, I didn't think I was going to have to think this far between these. I guess I'm going to bench T-Law, and I know he's old, but I feel like I'm somehow going to get more trading Travis Kelce than I am A.J. Brown. But A.J. Brown's getting cut. Kelsey's getting traded.
Interesting.
T-Law on the bench, Achane start.
Brady,
and
what
I don't
you...
necessarily know if I like that.
Brady, what do you got on this one?
Okay. So I'm going to start A.J. Brown. Receivers are pretty valuable, especially in our league.
Well, with this, we're just doing like standard PPR on this. Like just like a regular two receiver, single quarterback league.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still going to start A.J. Brown. I'm going to bench. Okay, I'm going to. This one was tough. I'm probably going to trade Achane for value. I don't know if I can trust his health. T-Law, you know you're going to need a quarterback, so I guess I'll bench him, and then I'm going to cut Kelsey.
I don't think you'd get much out of Achane in a trade.
I don't know about that.
Compared to anyone else on that team.
Yeah, I disagree. I'm actually spot on with Brady. I'm starting AJ Brown, figuring he's the top receiver on the team, probably potentially like the top draft pick. And then I'm gonna keep T Law because on the bench, because if that's the backup quarterback, that's a good backup. I feel like you could get. There's definitely some people who are pretty high on HN. I agree. Like there's some people who aren't, but yeah, I'm gonna trade HN, and then I'm gonna cut bumfuck jab pushing fuck ball bitch boy, and that was start trade bench cut, and we can go ahead and move on into our top 10 receivers / Justin Jefferson glazing segment here. Brady, do you want to start with your top 10 receivers in the NFL?
Can we listen down from 10 to 1?
Yeah, on this one, let's just go 10 to 1, yeah.
Alright, coming in at number 10, this was actually the toughest one for me. And I want to give some honorable mentions here before I get into my top 10. Brandon Ayuk was an honorable mention. Puka Nacua was also an honorable mention. And
okay.
And I believe DJ Moore was also an honorable mention. But that being said, we're going to start our top 10. Current wide receivers in the NFL right now. And Stephon Diggs comes in at number 10. Dude's been a monster the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, his entire career, he's been steady, just pretty much like top 5 receiving yards for the most part, other than last year. He didn't have his best year, but my God, he still went for like 1,200 yards. So, Stephon Diggs, number 10. Number 9, I feel like this receiver's really slept on. Because maybe where he plays, but he's probably the most consistent receiver in the NFL, and that's Mike Evans. Mike Evans at number 9. He's also a touchdown beast. He had like 13 last year. Yeah, so Mike Evans, number 9. Number 8, Deebo Samuel. I know he... When you look at him, he's probably like not the most crisp route runner, but what he can do on the field, just a nightmare. He is on for other defenses, just ridiculous. Just the things he can do is most people can't do, and that's why I value him so high. So he comes in number 8. Number 7, AJ Brown. Pretty consistent, you know, wide receiver 1 for the Eagles, back to back, I think 1,400 yards. He's up there with like 100 catch seasons, so yeah, he's easy top 10 wide receiver. Coming at 6, Davante Adams. Kind of might have would have ranked him higher if he didn't have, you know, quarterback uncertainty last year. I mean, he had pretty much garbage thrown to him. So, but he's still one of those dudes. I mean, going for 1,000 yards and one of the best route runners. The separation is honestly almost second to none, really. So, and starting my top 5, we got Amon-Ra St. Brown. That dude is a freaking beast. Probably the most durable wide receiver in the NFL right now. Dude played with a torn like hip muscle or something, like after week 2 or 3 the entire season. And then also playing with hand, foot, and mouth. Yeah, tore clear off the bone. And also played a game with hand, foot, and mouth where it is like, feels like your hands and feet are like you're like walking on pins. It's crazy. So, yeah, he's a beast. Coming up number 4, we got CeeDee Lamb, OU Boomer Sooner. Honestly, he's if you don't have him in your top 5, you're crazy. He just does everything well. Yeah. Number 3. This is where it got interesting. I got Ja'Marr Chase at 3. Despite his season last year, yeah, also Joe Burrow was hurt, but he is just amazing. One of the best route runners. Good, catches a lot of touchdowns. So he comes to number 3. These two, you could argue one over the other. I wouldn't hate it. But Tyreek Hill comes in number 2. Dude is a freaking monster. He might be the most explosive player in the NFL still right now. Mm-hmm. He's just, I don't think anybody can guard that guy, man. Like,
yeah, he's still so fast.
A lot of people can't do. Yeah, dude, it's kind of crazy. He's like almost 30 and he's still burning people. Like,
mm-hmm.
Most receivers kind of start to slow down there. And And he's still that guy, and he might always be that guy until he decides to call it quits. So, yeah, Terry Coe at 2, and then number 1, Justin Jefferson, obviously. he's breaking most all records for the first 4 years of an NFL wide receiver. I mean, he's on track to be first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, you can call it glazing, but I mean, I think that's just facts what it is.
Well, no, I knew it was going to be number 1, but of course, but it's like, why did you want to do receivers? Because you knew Justin Jefferson was going to be number 1. And I get it. If we were doing this when Tom Brady was around, I'd be like, let's rank quarterbacks this week for the 5th week in a row.
Well, I was honestly considering quarterback too, but I think that would just be like too talked about like through a lot of podcasts, so that's kind of why I mentioned receiver instead. And also, yes, it is fun to mention Jefferson at number 1. I'm not going to lie, but
absolutely, you got to enjoy it while you have it. I'm going to call it glazing because I got to talk this shit. But yeah, no, for absolutely, sure. You got to enjoy it because yeah, you don't get receivers like him very often. So you got to celebrate.
He's a once in a generation talent, man.
Absolutely. So, Reed, who's your top 10?
Real quick, Brady, who was 6 and 7 for you?
Devonta Adams was 6, and 7 was AJ Brown.
All right, who was 5?
I can just run through my 10 through 1 real quick.
Okay.
10 was Stephon Diggs, 9 was Mike Evans, 8 Debo Samuel, 7 AJ Brown, 6 Devonta Adams, 5 Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4 CeeDee Lamb, 3 Ja'Marr Chase, 2 Tyreek Hill, and then Justin Jefferson, number 1.
Okay. Did you say Ayuk in there?
He was an honorable mention.
Oh, okay.
Along with Puka.
I could have sworn I heard his name. That's why I asked. Okay.
I really, really wanted to put Puka over Diggs at 10, but just the body of work Diggs had the last couple years, I couldn't do it after 1 year. Hey, I think he's still got to prove it. So
that's fair.
But he'll probably be there next season when we're talking about this again if we do this list. So.
Alrighty. Reed, you want to tap in?
Yeah, I'm going to tap in. And I'm going to start with... Debo Samuels is not even worth an honorable mention. Let's start with the word overrated, alright? Doesn't even be an honorable mention. Broke 1,000 yards once in 5 seasons.
It's not... Yeah,
if we're talking about just wide receiver... stuff. Yeah. I'm gonna agree. Sure. I don't think he's top 10. If you're talking about on the field skill, position, skill making, like playmaking stuff, I'd probably agree with Samuel.
His dynamic, just on the field, what he can do as a receiver is why I have him in top 10. I don't think he's a top 10 route runner necessarily, but just what he does on the field, production wise, as a wide receiver, what he can do with just like jet sweeps. Those are still considered passes, whether you want to say it's not, and also so, just short passes run after the catch, dude. He's just a dynamic. I think if you watch the documentary Receiver on Netflix, you would have a little different dude. I honestly did, dude, until I watched that doc. I was like, Debo Samuel's that motherfucking dude. Like, they are not San Francisco without Debo Samuel.
And I agree.
Facts, dude.
I think he's more important than Ayuk.
I'm not.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not saying.
So, I mean, if you're going to argue top, I guess I can see your argument there, but I put him in my top 10 based off just what he can do all over the field that nobody else can do at receiver. But
that's fair.
You know,
I get what you're saying, 100%.
That's my
sure.
argument. Yeah, that's my argument. But, you know, you guys probably won't have him, but that's why I have him in my top 10.
Yeah, he's played 5 seasons, so he had, as far as rushing goes, 14 carries, 8, 59, 42, 37.
Yeah.
Average rush is pretty solid. Or 6.3.
He's just a fucking
decent touchdowns,
like a fullback, dude. He's good. But yeah, I get you guys arguing why he wouldn't, though. But that's
a little Swiss Army knife. Agree to but disagree. He's not. Yeah, he's not my top 10 receiver. No way. So Brady and I actually share a lot of the same top 10, and leading off is Stephon Diggs at number 10.
Okay.
Yep, number 9. I mean, perennial top 10 when you talk about receivers currently in the NFL. Yeah, Mike Evans, number nine. Probably, I don't know if you'd say glazing, but he took Debo's spot. This is the first differ. I put Puka Nacua. I think he's that guy, and I don't think last season was
eight or nine
whatsoever. Number eight, Puka. Okay.
Who was 10?
Stephon Diggs.
Oh, and who was... Oh, okay, Evans, okay.
Then, coming in at number 7, A.J. Brown, same as Brady. He's just an absolute freak. I think the Titans were super silly forever trading him. That was just... That was dumb. Should have kept him. Should have done everything they could. Should have figured something out. Terribly ran org. So, moving on to number 6. Brady has Davante Adams. I kind of rank him a little higher. At number 6, just outside my top 5, Brady, is CeeDee Lamb.
Oh.
CeeDee Lamb. And then... yeah. Then moving into number 5, the absolute unit out of Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Same as Brady at number 5. And then where we differ... They basically swap spots on our list. Number 4 for me is Davante Adams. CeeDee for Brady. He's just an insane route runner. Still broke 1,100 yards last year and just shy of double-digit TDs with Jimmy Garoppolo, AOC, and just all sorts of guys thrown to him. So he is at number 4. Number 3, people forget when healthy. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase. He's really good. He's going to get better. Hopefully he can stay healthy and have a productive season. So everyone can see that. Hopefully him and Jefferson, really. Hopefully they're both healthy. Number 2, Tyreek Hill. Same as Brady. Number 1, Justin Jefferson. I feel like we're pretty on par for majority of our list there. We'll see where Zach stacks up against us.
I don't know if I have any in the same spots as you guys, but they're all pretty close. I would say there's a couple different ones in there, though.
Yeah, I don't hate the Adams-Lamb swap. Like, you have him at 4, I have him at 6, as opposed to the other way around. I was... Honestly, the really big one for me is Amon-Ra and CeeDee Lamb, and who I wanted to put over. I almost put Amon-Ra over, but CeeDee Lamb's been doing it a little bit longer, so... St. Brown,
yeah,
I'd probably rather have as a receiver on my team, like,
yeah,
not necessarily fantasy wise, but just like who you root for. He's just a really fucking cool dude. He speaks 3 different languages, speaks fluent German. He's a really smart guy. He's just tough and physical.
Yep.
You know, he's like high character guy. He's not gonna get in trouble and shit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and just after the playing through the injury thing last year, after I saw that, I was like, yeah, it's hard not to root for that dude, because that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, dude, he's so cool. I really like him a lot.
Yep. Spoiler, he is in my top 5. So my top 10 for this year is number 10, Brandon Ayuk. Number 9, Davante Adams. Number 8, DJ Moore. Number 7, this is probably going to be the hottest one of... Actually, it'd probably be the second hottest one. Michael Pittman Jr. at 7. I think he's really really good.
Wow.
I think he's going to eat this year. And I think he's going to have a real breakout year. Yeah, with Anthony Richardson. Because I think Anthony Richardson's going to be the guy for him. They looked really good together last year. Number 6... And this is for this year. I thought we were just doing this year, not doing, like, body of work.
For sure. I just don't trust Anthony Richardson, especially with the training camp videos I've seen.
Yeah,
but, I mean, even still, he got it done last year with Gardner. He's got Joe Flacco there. Like, he still puts up numbers even with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, I guess he does
get
Flacco to sling it to him if all else fails.
Yeah. So, then number 6, going A.J. Brown. Pretty balanced attack there in Philly, so we'll see. And then number 5, Ja'Marr Chase. Again, pretty crowded room there. Number four, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's just the go-to guy in that offense, aside from Sam Laporta, who I feel like he's more of Sam Laporta's. He's like icing on the cake. Like, no homo, Amon-Ra St. Brown is like the cake. He's like what you build the offense around. And then you go add the all-star tight end, the Pro Bowl tight end like Laporta. Number three, Tyreek Hill. You guys had him at two. I don't really think I got to argue with it too much at three. Yeah, even at 30, still one of the best receivers in the league. Number two, Justin Jefferson. And number one, CeeDee Lamb. Honorable mentions for Amari Cooper and Puka.
Trolls for engagements.
Bro. That's just for trolling.
You just ruined the segment. What are you doing, Skip? Come on, Skip.
No, you see the thing about CeeDee.
What are you doing, Skip?
You see the thing about CeeDee. What he did at the end of last year, unheard of.
He's about to have a quarterback throw to him soon.
Jefferson. I actually fucked up. I had a typed up here. I wanted to start off the list by going at number 10, I have Justin Jefferson, then number 9, Devontae, and then be like, oh, I'm just kidding. But I completely forgot to do that. So, yeah, it was definitely.
Well, here's.
That's wide receiver one, baby. That's wide receiver
He's
one.
He's on your team.
That's a wide receiver Bias. One. That's my boy right there. Get that man paid. Get that man paid.
Overpaid is what he's going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're all going to be very overpaid. And so I guess switching on slightly real quickly before we go into our last break and come back with that, we did have a little misunderstanding on how we were ranking the receivers. I thought we were just doing like whole career like active receivers. So I did a top 10 like based on that. And so I want to go ahead and just throw that out there. So at number 10, I had Tyler Lockett. Number 9, Brandon Cooks. Number 8, Keenan Allen. Number 7, I know I just was trolling, but I went ahead and put Justin Jefferson already up here. He's outside the top 20 in all the major categories, but he's already like just on the edge, just in 4 years. And at the rate he's at, I already got him like up there with these guys that have even had these longer careers. Number 6, Stephon Diggs, which I know you guys hate that I didn't do that to troll.
No,
I just
no, I mean, he's
yeah, he, yeah. And then number 5, Tyreek Hill. Number 4, Julio Jones. Number 3, Devontae Adams. Then DeAndre Hopkins. And number 1, Mike Evans. For all active receivers. What do you guys think of that list? Yeah. And then... Yeah. What were you saying, Reed?
No, I like that list.
Okay. And then I also had honorable mentions for Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen, and Cooper Kupp.
Nice.
But I guess that will go ahead and take us in.
I wouldn't have put Thielen in there.
You what?
Personally. I mean, I wouldn't have put Thielen in there personally, but.
You wouldn't or would have?
Wouldn't.
Okay. Well, he wasn't in the top 10. He was outside. He was just a mention, but
yeah.
But among active guys, he is 14th in catches, 12th in yards, and 7th in touchdowns all time. So
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean he's up there. I mean he's rankable, but I just agree. I didn't want to put him quite top 10 either. The sustainability.
Top 15, 12, maybe.
Yeah. The rest of the guys all had the sustainability thing. I guess you could argue except for Julio Jones because he kind of fell off there later in the career, but he was so fucking dominant there when he was good there for still a pretty good stretch of his career. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and go into break here. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, just imagine OBJ or Michael Thomas staying healthy, how high they'd be on this list. Maybe not necessarily Michael Thomas. He's a slant merchant, but OBJ.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about me. I don't know. I didn't really have them.
Well, dude, he was like, he's like top. He was like,
he was up there, and I think he was like catches, but he wasn't among active players. He wasn't ranked real high in a lot of other stuff. I don't think. Let me pull it up real quick.
He was like second quickest to 5,000 receiving yards in his first couple years. Like he was widening it up, but just saying, if he would have stayed healthy, he probably would have made the list.
Yeah, he's not even looking. Although StatMuse, they didn't have Julio Jones, so they might not have Odell either, just since I guess they're not as active as the other guys or whatever. I don't know. StatMuse likes to leave out random guys sometimes. I'm not sure why. But with that, we will go ahead and go into our break, and we'll be right back to start our final eight teams. All right, we are back, and during the break, I think it was Brady said that Royals ended up coming back, winning that game. They were down 5-2 in the seventh, so shout out the Royals. Need to get that sweep on the L-Sox here, so that's big, so shout out them. Getting into this final chapter of the 32, our ranking of all 32 franchises, we're going to go one at a time on this elite tier. But first, before we do that, let's each run through our list going up to number 9. And Reed, if you want to expand on your 24 through 17 a little bit, since I edit podcasts like an inbred, you can do that.
Number 24, we've got the San Diego Chargers. Number 23, New York Jets. Number 22 is the Tennessee Titans. As I mentioned in previous part of this episode, terribly ran organization. Also, the first memories I have of the Titans would be when they got smoked by the Raiders in the AFC Championship. And then the Raiders went on to lose to the Tampa, absolutely annihilated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, which leads into number 21, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 20, New Orleans Saints. I think I'm a lot higher in the Saints than you guys, aren't I?
Definitely me. Brady, you got them.
Yeah, I think you guys had them.
I think.
Yes.
So I have it. Yeah, and then I have them 27. So
If I could put
32, I would. Fuck the Saints.
Yeah, I probably have them a bit. I probably would have them a little lower. Buffalo, number 19. And number 18, Chicago Bears.
The Vikings.
You're a Chicago Bears.
Hey, what are you doing?
Duh, Bears.
After we bullied you into putting them there.
Yeah.
So, hey, boo-boo. Number 17, Minnesota Vikings. Maybe they're sitting a little low on the list. Number 16, Seattle Seahawks. Not too much with their franchise history, a couple Super Bowls, and pretty solid Pete Carroll era, all that good shit. Number 15, Los Angeles Rams. Number 14, Indianapolis Colts. Did you say 24 to 9, Zach?
What's that?
What'd you need me to go to?
Just 24 through 17, but what I meant was like you could just run through like your 32 through 9 and just recap your list, and then if you wanted to expand on like your 24 through 17, since that got edited out of the podcast, you could do that. But if you just want to go ahead and finish recapping tier 9 and then throw out your 32 to 24, or just restart at 32 and just list them all one time.
Should I just restart?
Yeah, and just list them.
You want me to just scrap and restart?
Oh, no. Keep going. Yeah, we're good.
Alright. So, a little recap, 32 to 9. 32, Houston Texans. 31, Arizona Cardinals. Number 30, Jacksonville Jaguars. Number 29, Cincinnati Bengals. Number 28, the Cleveland Browns. Number 27, Detroit Lions. Number 26, the Atlanta Falcons. 25 is the Carolina Panthers. Coming in number 24 is the San Diego Chargers. 23 is the New York Jets, and they've just, man, been terrible as long as I can remember. 22, Tennessee Titans. 21, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 20, the New Orleans Saints. Number 19, Buffalo Bills. Number 18 is the Chicago Bears. Number 17 is the Minnesota Vikings. Number 16, Seattle Seahawks. 15, Rams. 14 is the Colts. 13 is the Washington Commanders. Number 12 is the Philadelphia Eagles. 11, the Miami Dolphins. Number 10, the Denver Broncos. And coming in at number 9, the Raiders.
All right, Brady, you want to do your 32 through 9?
Yeah, I can do that. And coming in at 32 is the Arizona Cardinals. 31, Detroit Lions. 30, Jacksonville Jaguars. 29, Houston Texans. 28, Atlanta Falcons. 27 was Carolina Panthers. 26 was Cincinnati Bengals. 25 was the Chargers. 24, Tennessee Titans. 23 was the Saints. 22 was the Browns. 21 was the Jets. At 20, Tampa Bay. If I had them a little higher than I would, I didn't have Super Bowl wins, but 19, Seahawks. 18, the Bears. 17, Bills. 16, put the Vikings there. 15, Rams. 14, Eagles. 13, Colts. 12, the Redskins, Commanders. 11, the Dolphins. 10, the Ravens. And then the 9 was the Raiders.
Okay. And for mine, I had at 32 the Cardinals, then the Bengals, Jaguars, Texans, Lions, Saints, Falcons, Buccaneers, Chargers, Panthers, Jets, Titans, the Browns at 20, the Seahawks, the Bills, the Bears on the bad half of the halfway side, and then the Colts on the good side, then the Ravens, then the Raiders, the Vikings, the Dolphins, the Redskins, the Rams, and the Eagles. And that is our all of our teams leading up to 32. So we can go ahead and get into number 8. Who wants to give their number 8 team first?
Pick me.
Brady.
Oh. All right. Coming at number 8.
No, Brady. Read. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just fucking
coming at number... Coming in at number 8, New York Giants. And I think you guys had them rated lower than I did.
No, I haven't got the Giants yet.
No, I haven't either.
Oh, you haven't?
I have them higher than you.
No. Oh, yeah.
Reed out here trying to fish for spoilers.
Shoot. Yeah.
Like I didn't just fish for spoilers the whole time during the break. Okay, but I got the Giants. I think that's fair. What made you put them at 8?
Probably crackhead Lawrence Taylor in the few Super Bowls. I mean, that's just, they're one of the oldest franchises in the league. A lot of history there. A lot of very committed fans. I work with one.
Yeah.
They are... They're a different breed. He's going to a game this year. He's going up there with him and his family's going. So yeah, it's a long ways to travel. Some diehard fans.
Hey, yeah, you got to do it. Brady, who you got at 8?
Coming at 8, Denver Broncos. Yeah, they lost a lot of Super Bowls in the 80s, and But they also have like four. So, yeah, they're top eight easy for me, just above the Raiders, just a bit more successful.
And they got three Super Bowls. And eight appearances. Yeah, three and eight appearances.
Yeah. Yeah, still pretty good, though. Three, that's why. Yeah, they also match, yeah, with the Raiders. That's why I had them just slightly above.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more success even recently, so yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good pick because I also have the Broncos at eight. Like I said, been to eight Super Bowls, won three of them. Three is already a good number, and some people, like, in media and stuff, and just, like, casual fans, they always talk about, oh, he lost the big one, he lost, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, but he was still better than your team, unless your team was the one that won the championship. So, I think even making it to a Super Bowl definitely counts for quite a bit there. And just, you know, very consistent fans over the years. They dominate in attendance. They're, like, perennially, I think it was the number five spot right there that they finished, like, every, yeah, fifth or sixth, like, every year. It's like clockwork. Those dudes finished fifth or sixth in attendance. And then, yeah, just, yeah, it's just really, really, really good franchise.
Really is.
So, how do you guys want to go around these? Do you guys just kind of want to snake draft around them?
Yeah, let's do a snake.
Okay. So, at number seven, I got, sadly, the Chiefs. I really wanted the metrics to say that the Broncos were better than them. But all that that would have really meant is that the metrics are wrong, because I even have to admit it, that the Chiefs are the better franchise. Four Super Bowl wins, one of the longest histories. I mean, tied for one of the longest histories, I guess you could argue, in the NFL. And plus, they were in the first ever Super Bowl, which is went into their historic grade. It doesn't really mean that much to me, but it goes into the history grade.
Right.
Or did they win or did they lose? Yeah. They lost it.
They lost to the Packers.
But still. And I always remember that because I always remember the story that when my grandparents were on their honeymoon, that's what they did. My grandpa watched the Super Bowl, and my grandma sat there and, like, knitted something in their hotel room wherever they were. And that's what they did. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, they've got, you know, a really good fan base. As much as I hate them, you can't knock Chiefs Kingdom. I mean, you can't knock them, but they're a dedicated group.
They're devoted.
And top 10, like, upper end attendance always, solid ownership group. Fuck the Chiefs, but they very well could move into the top five or even three in the next, like, two or three or four years with Mahomes and Reed.
For sure. All right. So, coming in at my number seven is the New York Giants. Four Super Bowls, very historic franchise. That's consistent. They were up and down in the Eli Manning era, but they still managed to get two Super Bowls out of it. So, like Reed was saying, really devoted fan base. Yeah, crazy, crazy fans. But yeah, number seven for me, just over the Broncos, based on just more success when it comes to cashing in when it counts.
Okay. My number seven is the Baltimore Ravens. I think I'm probably the highest on the Ravens.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I had them at 10.
I had them at 15, so yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of a time when they sucked. Especially since I was alive. I've been alive, you know, just where are they at in attendance at? Can you tell me that?
What was that?
Where are they at in attendance?
They were pretty damn good, if I remember. Let me pull it over to that. The Ravens.
Because I would imagine they have pretty good attendance. Always good.
Baltimore doesn't have a lot of other sports going on.
Let me see. Their score says 21, and to compare that, I believe, to Dallas's, because theirs is the best, 32. Yeah, 22 is a good score. Yeah, it's not great, but it's good. It's solid. Like, 22 is something to hang your hat on.
Okay. Yeah, we got Baltimore number 7. Number 6, someone who could break into the top 5, like Zach was saying. I got the Kansas City Chiefs. They win another Super Bowl this year. They are jumping way up this list a couple spots. Definitely making some noise in these rankings last 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's also where I have KC at 6.
Okay.
With the recent success and also just the history of that franchise, I mean, it's really good and crazy fan base, having one of the best home field advantages. And like you guys are saying, if they win another Super Bowl or two, they're going to firmly be jumping in the top five.
Yeah.
If not higher. So.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Yeah, like I said, potentially top three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, so at my number 6, I have the Giants. They had a score of 17.3 on my metrics, and here, 4 Super Bowl wins, 2 of them against the greatest dynasty to ever exist, and the greatest Super Bowl and coach, or and the greatest quarterback and coach. You know, like you guys have already said, broad and passionate fan base. They had the second best attendance in the NFL. Some of that, again, might be in NYC, but then again, I'm not going to take it away from the Giants, just because, like you guys said, every Giants fan I've ever met, like, they maybe don't always know the most about football. A lot of them do. I'm not saying the Giants fans don't know ball, but the one thing that's very consistent is they all care a lot. they all really like the Giants.
Yep.
And yeah, just
that
just
is
great franchise.
True.
Yep. Okay, and then at number 5, I have my Patriots. Score of 16.6. You know, just all the dynasty was so good, and, you know, you could really make the argument the Giants should be ahead of there, but at the end of the day, you know, you had the greatest coach all time, the greatest quarterback, the greatest like 20-year-long run. And a few moments, we were never the greatest franchise before that, and that's part of why they're at 5, and I kind of had to use my fandom to put them there, because I honestly really kind of thought about putting them at 6 below. I actually really even kind of thought about going to 7 below the Chiefs, but I just, you know, I couldn't do it. let me see, what did I have here? I guess that was about all I had. Because the fan base, I will admit, fairly, it's not the greatest. We don't have the greatest fan base out there, and the attendance is not, you know, like, Fenway sells out, the TD Garden sells out, like, it doesn't really feel like Gillette is the packed place there. I even feel like where I forget where it is the Bruins play, but I feel like they sell out quite a bit too. The Patriots don't have that attendance, even when we were winning Super Bowls and had all the, you know, good teams, still just not the great attendance. But still up there in playoff wins, appearances, better win percent than most, of course, too, for regular season win percentage. So that's where I got the Patriots.
Okay. Number 5 for me is also the New England Patriots. Would have them higher, and they did, like you said, have the greatest dynasty over 2-decade span. You could probably call it 2 dynasties if you really wanted to. Outside of that, I mean, they appeared in a Super Bowl in the 90s, and I think one of them way back before that too, but outside, I mean, they've been pretty mad before that, and their fans, they, like you said, attendance isn't the best. I feel like they are the last sport that Boston cares about. I think the Celtics are more important, the Sox, and like you said, even the Bruins might be even more important than the Patriots in that city, and it's not really a knock on them, it's not their fault, but it just is what it is.
I think part of what it is the town is so spoiled by, like, all the teams being so good,
right,
that they really just care the most about whichever team of those 4 is the best right now. That's the most important in the city, kind of thing. But
I think, as
a whole, the Celtics and the Sox will always just have the city's heart just a little bit more.
Yeah. I would be really curious, like, on a poll, like, who that city would be behind more, like, the Sox or the Celtics. That would be very, very interesting. Just because of the success the Celtics have had forever, and the Red Sox are obviously historic. I don't know. That'd be really interesting. But, yeah.
Yeah.
You may win a five for me.
All right. Number five for me is also the New England Patriots. I don't feel like I need to deep dive into that at all. So I will roll into number four, being the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
And top five's hard.
Really?
Yes.
What are you saying, really, too? Like, why has Green Bay at four?
He said it was top five to get the Packers. It was hard to get the Packers in the top five. I think that's...
No.
I think that's kind of...
I'm saying
the
top five was hard to do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying the top five was hard to do. I just had a hard time with where I was putting these teams because I feel like...
I hear you.
My number four, my number
three
could be flipped. Mm-hmm. And so they landed at number four. I feel like... the rest of the top five is almost pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're all pretty close on where we put these last remaining teams.
I definitely do not have the Packers at four. I disagree with that quite a bit, actually. I won't spoil the rest of the countdown, but yeah, I think you're sleeping on the Packers there.
All right.
Brady, who you got at four?
Coming in at four for me was the San Francisco 49ers. They had a really good run from the 80s up until the early 90s. And they're one of the most successful franchises in NFL history. Kind of have failed to cash in the last couple of Super Bowls. But yeah, they're four for me. Couldn't put them just any higher, personally. If they would have won the last two, probably argue I'm not their number one, but
that is true. Yeah
so yep,
but yeah, I think that's I also agree. I also have the 49ers there at number four. Just very historic franchise that gets run pretty well. Mm-hmm. They doesn't seem like they're ever bad for very long, always in the playoff talks, right. And even when they are bad, it seems like they're like one of the bad teams you don't want to play. And it's like
they bounce back pretty quickly.
Yeah, and they always have somewhere in their team just like a historic player, whether you're going like Joe Montana, it's Jerry Rice, and you got Steve Young, then there was Patrick Willis, and then now you got Terrell Owens. Yeah. Like
Jeff.
Yeah, like it's just they just a good franchise. Then very successful. They're up there in playoff wins, up there in appearances. And I think their fan base probably a little bit slept on. I think the 49ers fan base is one of the bigger ones out there, and they have good attendance too. Attendance, and probably I think it's like one of the lowest rated stadiums, and probably one of the most outdated in the NFL. Candlestick.
They already made a new stadium.
Oh, did they? When did they do that?
They don't play it. A year or two ago, they don't play at Candlestick anymore.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, well that makes sense. Yeah. Let's see. All right, and so then at number three, I have the Dallas Cowboys, score of 19.3. Dallas gets a lot of hate from a lot of people, but I think it's a jealousy thing. Dallas is constantly good, but they just run into playoff struggles, and they're just like cursed about it. And I think it's all because Jerry Jones. God, he's all cursed because of his ego when he fired freaking Jimmy Johnson after he just fucking built this fucking dynasty for him. But he was mad because Jimmy's getting the attention and he's not for it. But even that aside, they still, excuse me, they have average a playoff win per appearance. So, like, each time they get to the playoffs, they're averaging a win each time they get there, even with the recent struggles they've had. And then they are tied for most playoff appearances at 36. And then, you know, they got the 5 Super Bowls and 8 tries, too. Only 4 of their teams been to the Super Bowl more than them. And just tons of historic players. 58% regular season wins all time. Ownership is really what kills the Cowboys for me. I gave Jerry a 3 out of 10 grading on the ownership, and I feel like he's good at getting asses in seats, which is why them being number one in attendance is cool, and that helps them get beat at number 3 and whatever, but it doesn't win them games, and I think if he had set his ego aside, they'd have a serious argument to be the number one, because they do probably have the largest fan base, they dominate attendance, and they already have the history there. If Jerry doesn't let his ego get in the way and let that dynasty keep going, and maybe they don't get cursed and, you know, have another, at least just one other Super Bowl within, like, the last 15 years, they got, like, maybe one of the realest cases to be number one. But yeah. I think it's kind of Jerry's fault they're here at number 3.
Yep. So, with my third team all-time franchise, we have the Green Bay Packers. Okay. I would have them higher had they not been just abysmal in the 1980s. Like, really, 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 really bad. I mean, outside of that, they're freaking great. You know, you pretty much they were bad from coming out of the 70s until they had Favre. So it was a pretty good decade plus that they were dog water. But outside of that, dude, they're one of the most successful franchises and one of the most devoted fan bases. They only have self-owned team or they're not owned by anybody, basically.
Yeah, it's
as much as I hate them, you gotta respect it. They're just consistent and perennial playoff team, you know. And yeah, when they get to the Super Bowl, they typically cash in. Yes, that's third for me, Green Bay Packers.
All right.
Real quickly, Reed, before you do your 3, who is your Brady? Who is your number 6? And Reed, who is your 7 and 6?
My 6 was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
My 6 was Kansas City, and my 7 was the Ravens.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Number 3 for me is the San Francisco 49ers. And number 2 is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
All right.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, so have you said?
He hasn't.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So kind of my 2.
Yeah, boy.
So wait. What number are you on, Reed? You said the 49ers were 3.
And yep, who was 2? Said the Steelers were 2.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so number 2 for me is the Dallas Cowboys. They have the biggest fan base. Have the best all-time regular season win percentage. Kill it in attendance. 5 Super Bowls, 2 different dynasties. I couldn't put them any higher than that. Just like Zach elaborated, the ownership really just kills it for them. So I just couldn't put them at number 1, personally.
Yeah, okay. So at my number 2 here, let me scroll back down. Actually, where are we at on time for this little guy right here? I meant to check that real here. Let's actually take a real quick break, and we will come back with our number 1s and finish up the show. All All right, and we are back. So let's go ahead and knock out the rest of this list here. So for my number two, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers here. Though they did have a score lower on the metrics, I had to break them here, than the Cowboys and the 49ers with 17.3. I just had to break it because I just don't agree with it. The sustained success they have just over multiple generations and probably the second or third largest fan base in the league. I mean, the motherfuckers got a towel to become like a signature cool thing. I don't know how you do that, but they did it. Arguably, you know, some of the best ownership and management in the league. You could argue that they have the best group. And then just a tons of history and history and tradition. Their attendance actually isn't very good, which is kind of what drove their score down in the metrics here. But I figure part of that's just, you know, the city of Pittsburgh or something like that. Because, I mean, obviously the Steelers fans love the Steelers. So I kind of overlooked it for them more than I maybe did for a couple of other teams. And just that aside, every time I, I really did think the Steelers were going to be number one initially, but they're not. After a little more getting into it, I have the Packers at number one. They have as much history as anyone. They're the only team with over 800 wins all time. Because they're at 799 right now. They will be by the end of the season, unless they have some kind of catastrophic meltdown there. Yeah, we'll see about that. Not if I have anything to say about it. You better tell Jordan Love to watch out.
Yeah, he's back.
Despite being so storied and having played so many games, they still have a 57% regular season win percentage all time. I know you said they were pretty bad there for a while, Brady, but it couldn't have been too bad if they're still at 57% all time with how long they've been around.
Historically, they just have a little blimp in there.
Yeah, so like they're tied with Baltimore there on regular season win percentage. Only Dallas has the higher one, like you mentioned, Brady. They're up there at 58%. Four Super Bowl wins. They're tied for the most playoff wins all time. They have one of the largest fan bases in the league. I know probably like five or seven people just from Abilene who have gone to Green Bay just to go to a game before. Although I think you see a lot more of that nowadays, because I've actually, it's funny, we talked about the Minnesota attendance last time. There's actually, I've seen like two people, aside from you guys, on my Facebook feed that like their profile picture either recently or now is them at a Minnesota Vikings game. So I think that's kind of funny too. But back to the Packers though. They had that, and they still perennially finish top five in attendance too. And not only are they one of the most successful teams on the field, they're also one of the most successful teams, like, just in a small market in all major sports. They're probably the smallest market in all four of the major sports. Like, I don't think there's a smaller market than Green Bay in hockey, baseball, basketball, or football. I might be wrong. There might be one I'm missing. Maybe in hockey. Yeah, but just... off the top of my head, there's definitely not one in the NFL. It's definitely the smallest market there. But yeah, if you want to go scan through the other leagues real quick and find something real quick, that's feel free. And I think the fact that they don't have an owner, but instead like the board that serves as ownership, is part of why I gave them a 9 out of 10 there, because it obviously works well for them. And just in total, I think the Packers' consistent and storied success, and even before the Super Bowl era, is in such an obscure place. They're not in Dallas. They're not in Pittsburgh. They're not in this major city that all these other teams are in. They're in, you know, a place that's, I think it's like Topeka size, maybe something like that. Maybe not even. So... that to me, I think when you factor in all their history, all their success, and just how continued it is, especially like the last 30, probably about to go on 40 years if Jordan Love is good. Yeah, it's just I had to give them number one. And I, like I said, I thought the Steelers were going to be number one there, but once it, everything came out and I looked at it, I was like, yeah, shit, I think it's the Packers. And they did also have the highest score here. I don't know why I don't have their highest score. Where is it? I just saw it. I don't know, but yeah. So I guess we can each recap our top eight real quick. I'll go through mine real fast.
We haven't our ones yet.
Oh, that's my bad. You're right. My bad. Go ahead. Yeah.
So coming in at number one for me is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Six Super Bowls, one of the most dominant dynasties in the 1970s. Only have had three head coaches. Probably the most successfully ran franchise in the NFL. So, and it's kind of hard to top Pittsburgh. It, and their fans are crazy. So devoted, but with their, yeah, like you said, the terrible towels and shit. And yeah, so Pittsburgh, number one for me.
Coming in at number one for me would be the Dallas Cowboys.
That's crazy. Ooh. That's crazy. I think this is probably the hottest take of of our top eight, wouldn't you guys say?
Not really.
Not really. I mean, I had them at two. You had them at three. They're top three franchise of all time. I mean, I wouldn't exactly call it a big take, but...
I understand
it's debatable.
Your guys' sure. concerns with Jerry Jones, but they're still good every year. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're a top three all-time franchise, whether you have them three or one. I'm not going to say you're wrong necessarily. I disagree, but I don't think it's a crazy hot take.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll say it. I think it's wrong. I don't know. I think that's what we're trying to do here in debate and like go through these. I think it's wrong. I don't think.
Well, Zach, I think you're wrong.
I think he's wrong really. Too, what's the argument for it? I don't see it.
What's the argument? They have the best regular season percentage of all time. They have the best fan base, and they have five Super Bowls. I mean, what else?
The other two teams have that. I guess the Packers have four, but
they don't have more Super Bowls than the.
I know. I just said. I said they have four. I know. I just said they have four, but still.
Yeah, and their fan base is larger.
It's always a competitive division. Always good teams. They're in it every year.
All right, I definitely disagree.
I mean, I don't think they're number one. That's fine. I don't think they're number one, but if you were to argue, I mean, like, I see the case for sure, but I just think Pittsburgh edges them out, personally.
Yeah, I can see Steelers at one. I can see Green Bay at one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I think I see Green Bay at one, too. That's I get your argument.
Yeah,
I think
so let's hear it.
Too,
so let's hear it.
Now,
that's what we're here
now
to do.
Now,
what
I...
I mean, Green Bay, yeah, I had Green Bay at three. So these top three, I think we all had... the same three?
Yes. No, so, no. Reed had the 49ers in the top three. He had the Packers at four.
Oh, that's right. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think San Francisco's an all-time three, but our three that we have is like, I mean, you could throw whatever order, and I mean, I wouldn't be too upset about it. I would say you both are wrong, but that's just my opinion, so, yeah.
So... after listening to you guys talk, I'd probably change up my top five a little bit, but not too dramatically. I'm probably sleeping on Green Bay a little bit. No. People make great points. I'd probably put Green Bay in the top three. I'd probably push San Fran out, maybe move Dallas. But I like my list as is. I'm not saying you guys aren't making valid points that make me rethink my list, but
right. And all I'm trying to do is get some debate and conversation going here because we just kind of just read through the list and didn't really have that back and forth we were looking for, which is And I just feel like especially on these top two or three here, this is kind of where you really got to nitpick.
I think a bigger hotter take for me personally is having Green Bay at one than Dallas at one.
Okay, let's hear why then.
You know, I mean, pre-Super Bowl era, if you take that out, I just don't think that there is good, you know, and just their fan base. Like you said, when we're getting down to these top five,
really not.
You're thinking of fans, you're thinking of success, and kind of just dynasties. Green Bay really didn't have a dynasty. They won Super Bowl here, Super Bowl there, here, there. You know, like they won one in the 90s and then one in 2010.
Right. Which is like cool. That's continued success. Dynasty.
Yeah, it is continued success. That's why I just.
And I think part of that, I think for me personally, that's part of why I put them at number one, because, like, with the Patriots, that's part of why they were down lower. If the Patriots, if they'd spaced out some of the Super Bowls more, you know, maybe we had one in the 80s, you know, and then Tom Brady got the rest of them or something like that, I'd have probably moved them up to number four. And it's the same kind of thing, like, with the Cowboys.
It's like, I think the Packers. Two Super Bowls, like, yeah, I get your argument there. I mean, the Packers won like the first two Super Bowls, and then they didn't win one for another 30 years until like 98 or something like that, 96. Yeah. I mean,
how many did they make in that time? They've been to five, so I'm not sure if they would have.
I think they've been to five and won four.
Yeah, they've been to five.
They lost one to the Broncos.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have made one in that time either. Yeah.
Yeah, they're. That's just I get your argument there. That's why I couldn't put them higher.
Yep. Yeah, and just the playoff wins. The only team with more than them is the 49ers, ironically, and then the Patriots are tied with them. Them and the Patriots both have 37.
I wanted to put the Niners higher than four, but like just their blown opportunities here recently kind of prevented that from happening.
Yeah, I think if we'd have done this list maybe like 5-6 years ago, I might have had the 49ers in the top three. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Especially before like maybe like Pittsburgh got their last Super Bowl, although I'm not sure. I guess Green Bay got their last Super Bowl since Pittsburgh's got theirs, huh?
They actually beat Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, their last Super Bowl.
Okay. And Pittsburgh hasn't won one since then. That was Big Ben's last one, right?
They haven't won one since 2009. So 2009 for Pittsburgh, 2010 for
when they beat the Cardinals. Okay, all right, yeah, okay,
yeah, yeah.
So they
a year back to back. Yep.
Okay. Well, that is our top eight. Did we each go through our top eight? I don't think we did. So, my top eight was Broncos, Chiefs, Giants, Patriots, 49ers, Cowboys, Steelers, Green Bay.
My eight was the Broncos, Giants, Chiefs, Patriots, Niners, Packers, Cowboys, and the Steelers.
My top eight was 8 Giants, 7 Ravens, number 6 Kansas City, number 5 New England, number 4 Green Bay, San Francisco, number 2 Pittsburgh, and number 1 Dallas.
Love it. And I love that you did that and gave us the talking point. Do you guys have any final words or thoughts on the entire countdown on any of these spots, you know, 32 through 1, any finishing touches you want to add on it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, all your guys, you're both lists suck, and mine's better, but
good. I think anyone who has Green Bay in the top three, their list is just invalid.
Okay. You know what's crazy is, I was about to say, Chicago Bears fan, you shouldn't be saying anything to me, Chicago Bears fan. I have your team ranked higher than you do after you move them back up.
Big fan. Yeah, dust off that Rex Grossman jersey in your closet, Reed.
If we ever did a reenactment of that Whitest Kids Call of Duty skit and we were picking characters, Reed would be Timmy's character, Da Bears. Da Bears, turn your fucking mic off.
Da Bears.
Hang on, you guys. I'm getting my mom to make me a sandwich. The Bears, turn your fucking mic off. Classic shit. Was that it, Reed? You got anything else to throw onto the list? Or your list, or any of ours?
No.
Alright. Okay, well, we do have... What? What? Hello?
Hello?
Was Wayne about to say something?
No.
Oh, I thought I cut one of you guys off. Okay. My bad. Okay, so for our consensus rankings we have here, which is just an average average finish rate for each of these teams in our list, and to be our official ZBR rankings here at 32, we have the Cardinals. We were all very low on them. I think Reed had them the highest at 31. So we were all definitely very, very low on them. Then Houston at 31, number 30, the Jaguars. I think outside of the top eight, that was the only one. I think actually the Jaguars and the Patriots are the only one that we all had the same in the exact same spots. The Lions, they're at 29. The Bengals at 28. The Falcons at 27. The Panthers at 26. The Chargers at 25. The Saints at 24. The Browns at 23, the Titans at 22, the Buccaneers at 21, the Jets at 20, the Seahawks at 19, the Bills at 18, the Bears at 17, Reed's favorite team, the Vikings at 16,
fuck you.
The Colts at 15, the Rams at 14, the Redskins at 13, the Eagles at 12, the Dolphins at 11, the Raiders at 10, the Ravens at 9, the Broncos at 8, the Chiefs at 7, the Giants at 6, the Patriots at 5, the 49ers at 4, the Packers at 3, the Cowboys at 2, and the Steelers at number 1. And that is the official ZBR rankings for all 32 NFL franchises all time. Honestly, I think pretty solid list all the way around. All of them were fairly close, not too many. Each of us, I think, had like two or three teams that were kind of in a different spot from the rest of the pack. Other than that, fairly on the same page in like same ballpark on most of the teams.
Yep.
Glad we did that. Definitely looking forward into maybe transitioning into, getting into ready for this coming football season, start getting some talk and predictions going on that. Training camps getting going, all the buzz is starting to come out. We're already hearing about this guy's already been a factor, this guy's been a factor, and it's been like a day and a half. And I love it. I'm here for it. And definitely looking forward to preseason and getting the season started. But that is going to do it for us tonight, guys. Thank you to everyone who listens and subscribes. If you haven't already, please go hit that like and subscribe button and drop us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's what really helps us get seen and helps us, like when people are searching on the app, trying to find sports stuff, that's what helps us get seen and pop up there for people to find. It's completely free to do and only takes like 10 seconds. So please, please, and thank you. Do that. If you want, you can follow the show on Twitter at ZBR Sports. If you want to find more Reed, you can find him on Twitter at MINN_sportsfan. You can find Brady at Brady Feldkamp and myself at Zach Got That Dog. Until next time, be happy, be healthy. This is ZBR Sports. See you guys.
All right, see you guys.
Peace.
Shitbag lizard people.
Yeah, bro, QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, when you crunch numbers,
who the fuck's Jennifer?